Approaching the empty front desk, we stood, waiting, your hand still placed, stroking and teasing, squeezing and circling, enticing the growl to get a little louder still. I leaned across and dinged the bell a couple of times. 5-star hotels. They're a fucking different world. Before the bell had even finished singing, an exquisitely groomed and uniformed Frenchman appeared as if from nowhere and glided toward us. "Good afternoon, Mr. Englishman. How can I help you today?" he said, casting a warm glance to my conspirator, and with a soft nod of acknowledgement added, "Mrs. Englishman, nice to finally meet you too." "Yes, I know. I've given up on accents. I'm awful at them. Come on. Give me some credit." You smiled and blushed a little, looking down as you squeezed me gently again. You're enjoying these games, the obvious subterfuge that was going on, a slight smile playing on your lips, those wonderful red lips, as you bit your bottom lip one more time and stroked me again. "Jean-Philippe, do I have any messages?" "No, sir. Nothing new since this morning." "Very well." I reached inside my inside pocket, plucking another note and handed it over. "I think someone dropped this in the lift earlier. Could you return it to them for me?" "Certainly, sir. We shall do whatever is needed," he replied, taking the bill with a knowing smile. Jean-Philippe was a legend, and the only reason I insisted on staying at the Porchester whenever I was here in London. He ran his staff with a glove of iron, and the service was all the more flawless as a result. But always find out who runs the front desk, and then grease them. I learned this from Tim Curry. How else do you get a silver train knocking on the door at 3 a.m. with champagne cocktails, a Rubik's Cube, and sweet and sour pork Hong Kong? Seriously, now that was a fun night. Just ask Kylie. "Thank you, JP." And we turned and headed to the lift foyer, waiting and trying to guess which one would go ping first. Number 6 won the race, and we stepped inside, aiming for the 8th floor. As the lift labored, we faced each other, backs pressed to the wall, just gazing at one another, playful eyes never leaving each other's, lustful thoughts betraying our calm demeanor. I walked over and dragged my fingers up from your hips and over your breasts, nipples now swollen, not caring to be seen through that blouse, and then under your arms, across your shoulder blades, and down the small of your back, before settling again on your hips, drawing you close to me. As you wrapped around me, head upon my shoulder, as if it had always lain there, I peppered your neck with little hard kisses from collarbone to ear and back, growling into your ear so softly as I did so, feeling you folding against me, feeling your blood singing. "You silky fucker, Mr. Englishman," you breathed. "You made me so wet right now." And you curled and stroked a finger up and down the back of my neck, feeling me sigh at the tingles that it triggered. I am a very bad man, I know. As my kisses got stronger and wetter, my mouth sucking, my tongue licking and pressing against your skin, hearing a gentle moan as you tilted your head further, urging me on, pressing harder to me, your arms gripping the back of my shoulders, holding me, wanting me, and yet knowing me. The lift smoothly settled to a halt, and the doors hissed open, like Star Trek. I broke our embrace and looked into your eyes. "Shall we, Melody?" "Yes, Mr. Englishman, we will." Ambling slowly along the plush corridor, we finally arrive at the Poggioli suite. Card, lock, Open, done, close door. I walk through to the main reception, all simple smooth lines and dark shades, flooded with light from the floor-to-ceiling glass. You can see an awfully long way from the 8th floor, and London looks fantastic when the sun comes out. I threw my old bag casually into a corner of one of the sofas. "This place is huge! Wow!" you exclaimed with a deep breath. It is pretty fierce. Whenever I'm in London for work, I always insist on this room. You wandered around exploring, looking into every corner, every room, as I took my coat off, checked my cell, and prioritized responses. Nothing desperately urgent, I found out, as I heard you in the background.
"This bed is fucking ridiculous."
"I know. Jean-Philippe tells me it can comfortably fit 7, I called out.
"7?
"So I'm told." "Are we expecting company?" you giggled. As you came back, your head to one side, tossing your coat onto the other leather sofa, just as the sun decided to stream through a break in the clouds, showering you with light, almost making you glow. Your red hair almost aflame, such desire in those eyes. Here she was again, vibrant, beautiful. She had one of those smiles that just lit up. She didn't need the sun to do that. And my growl just got louder. "Do you trust me, Melody?" I asked aloud, firmly, yet gently. "I think so," I giggled with excitement. I just couldn't help it. But her eyes were smiling too as she saw me giggling. "You're wearing far too much over there in the sunlight."
"I am?"
"Yes. Take them all off, Melody. Let me see the woman you are." She sighed, as if these were the words she'd been waiting for. A blush, and then a shine, and you gave me a look. Those eyes anchoring me to the spot, as if to say, "Be careful what you wish for." Lazily unbuttoning the denim, you kicked off those black heels and shrank a little as your little smooth feet lay touch to the smooth walnut floor. And I kept my gaze, smiling. Little lioness, just uncovering. Thumbs crooked, hips shimmying left and right as those jeans were peeled lower and lower over pale, smooth thighs as you bent down to your toes, hair askew, motes of dust caught and swirling in the sunlight when you stepped out of them, revealing such beautiful symmetry. You little fucking goddess. But I kept my eyes rooted to you. Blue lacy panties peeking out in public. But I kept my eyes firm. You smiled and shifted yourself to the left foot, pupils dilating. Reaching down with both hands, you disappeared as the loose navy blue blouse was raised from your hips and over your head, discarded. And there you were, blue lace clinging above and below, but not for long. And my eyes didn't shift once, still held, as I breathed and inwardly muttered, "Holy fuck." Panties were wriggled down. With a deft flick of the fingers, reached behind, that sky blue item of clothing left, snapped and sagged. And as you left your hands relaxing by your hips, it fell to the floor. Revealed willingly, you merely stood there. Eyes burning, reveling in the connection made. You are indeed a naked pixie, aren't you, Melody? Breathing hard and fast, shades of sunlight accentuating your curves as you show yourself utterly, the sun playing upon you, showing me why you are a lioness. "Watch me roar, Mr. Englishman," you said so softly, as your arms adopted the Aphrodite pose. One arm across your breasts, one hand delicately poised between your legs. My eyes still lingered, knowing what you just did. And you raised those eyebrows very playfully. Well? I let my soft growl have a voice out loud and started to unbutton my shirt, threw it to the side, unbuckled my pants, unthreaded the leather belt and threw it to the other side, placed my hands upon my hips and stood there. I was a hairy-chested motherfucker, and you stood and smiled as I did so, and let the sun play across you. I swear I could see you goosebumping, but I wasn't sure. Maybe it was just my imagination. Maybe it was why you changed the Aphrodite pose and joined both hands above your pussy. This was just another step, allowing me to see you, your breasts swollen and naked, and telling me such things. Pants unbuttoned and stood out of, socks away, boxer briefs peeled theatrically. No giggles this time, just eyes locked. Naked. Finally naked. You and I, just standing there. You gently stand there proud, and your hands slowly shift to hang beside your hips, clenching and breathing. Your will broke first, eyes drifting up and down me, discovering dark hair and muscles in my legs, noticing my weird whirl of hair around the belly button, the definition of muscles around my ribs, the smile upon my lips, the shared notion of, you gave, so I will too. And it was clearly making you hungry. I'm naked, Melody. I know. I grinned. You are too. I know that too. And I took a step, as did you, out of the sunlight. Hand outstretched, you stepped closer as the hand was met. Fingers clasping, intertwining, fingers gently smiling, nakedly. A tight and gentle embrace, as both hands now found their partner, fingers melding, your breasts brushing against the hair on my chest, as we inched close enough to kiss again, slow and gripping, your hips shifting and pressing against me. Feeling me hot and heavy, pressing against your tummy, my balls just hanging as you squeezed my hands and let your control unwind, arching and pointing your toes, leaning against me, eagerly swirling, biting kisses along my shoulder, feeling me subsume and stiffen, helping to keep your balance as you explored greedily, feeling you tremble, feeling your breasts press against me, so warm and soft, so pale, a rose-stained smeared nipple tingling and touching me. I arched and exposed my neck as you devoured me, almost squeaking as hungry, hungry thoughts nibbled and circled, letting loose a fiery, wild woman. You let loose a hand as you kissed me with aching and searching lips and a tongue intent with such intensity. I recognize what you were doing. You're fucking me, little Melody. Such passion and contact cannot hide it, but you are pretending I'm inside you as you touch and ache and ask questions that I can answer. You fucking little minx. This is my trick. Pretending that your earlobe, or your toe, or your finger, or the back of your knee is something else entirely. And you're doing it back to me. You moan as your hand strokes against and then grips me. A thumb strokes the very tip, feeling that silky ooze. As my hand slips underneath you, feeling just how wet and hot and tight you've become, our hands and lips exploring, feeling just how deep the trembling goes, feeling the warmth and the aching as hungers are spat into that room, two ebbing and flowing psyches synchronizing and gasping. I can feel my growl flinching, and I broke away, but my fingers stay where they were, inside you. Not here, I whisper. Pupils so dilated with the moment, you answer, yes, Mr. Englishman, not here. I gazed again into those fucking eyes, Melody, watching you feel my fingers slip and withdraw, dragging my fingertips against the roof, feeling it register with a little twitch and a little tremble, knowing just how much you felt that was enough for me. And when I licked those fingers clean, I could see you smiling, knowing just how much I enjoyed that. Go, I trembled. You grinned like a maniac, knowing I could see inside your head as you turned and slinked into the bedroom, swinging your hips as you left, trailing your hand from me. The lioness. She roared. You threw yourself upon that bed, knowing I was watching those curves with bated breath and soft, wide eyes. As I followed you into the bedroom, I could see your hair tousled everywhere, arms reaching to the sides, head turned and watching me, one leg straight down, the other crooked, thigh flattened high against the linen, hands grabbing fistfuls as you saw me come to you, cock thick, hard, and swinging. I'd been imagining this moment of surrender, this joyous meeting of two souls, the raw and simple mixture of lust and aching, relishing the touch of a gentle redhead, wondering how slightly different she was to every other woman, eager to discover what would turn her on and light the fuse. Ever since I saw just how well she could fill out that denim, the swing of her hips, the shape of her calves as she walked out of Nibieska's. Actually, that's a lie. She had me at the moment I could see her eyes and how they lit up when she smiled for the very first time. And if that hadn't worked, it would have been the first time I caught a whiff of her perfume, or when I saw her birthday appear in my head and the look of confusion that it created, or the moment we shared the look, both understanding what it meant, or the spark of just how natural it felt to touch a hand. There was just something so familiar at large here. But it's true. I am a horny little fucker, and I know how to take advantage of just who I am. The little dark-haired journalist at the Ritz, she positively shook when I handed her my cell phone and asked her to type her number in. And when we dined at the Ivy that same evening, she'd worn silver jewelry and a tight little black dress. And that was everything she'd worn, as I discovered later. I played the role she wanted me to play and gave her what she wanted. But the melody I heard now was different somehow. Here and now, we were simply crossing paths, as fate had conspired to randomly allow us to do so. Which was so refreshing, just two people thrown together, letting me just be a boy, standing in front of a girl, showing her I liked her. So I knelt at the foot of the bed and made you scoot higher so you could reach up above your head as you laid there and grab hold of the little oak slats that lined the head of this ridiculous bed. But for now, I just wanted you to relax. Hands above your head, Melody, and close your eyes. Yes, Mr. Englishman.